We've been looking at several things over the last few services because I believe that God, in His very, by His very nature, wants to bless His people. God is a blesser. He wants to bless His people. He wants to pour out blessing upon His people. And that can't be confused with just the idea of that God is just going to prosper you and in every thing that you do necessarily, but it does mean that God will work in your life to bring about His will for your good in whatever that He is working. He can take the darkest, most difficult situation and turn that around and cause that to become a blessing in your life. And it's hard for us to see it, especially when we're going through some trying situation. It's hard to see, how could God ever be blessing me in this? But then afterwards, when you look back, you see the hand of God. You see the Lord's hand, even in the trouble, the problems that you have experienced. You've witnessed His power and His grace in your life. It all starts with a step of obedience. If you want the blessing and the hand of God upon your life, you need to walk in obedience before God. And that first step is to be saved, to be born again, to turn to the Lord with your whole heart. And then every day of your life, determine, I'm going to spend time with the Lord and I'm going to be walk in obedience to His will. And then a second point that we emphasized was putting Him first in your life. That above everything else, He's first. He's more important than anything. And so you make Him first in all of your decisions, in everything that's important to you. You put God in that place of the highest priority in your life. And that's a real test for a lot of us to do that. But it's really the will of God. Are you putting Jesus first in your life? I pray that you are. Today we're going to look at another aspect of God's blessing upon your life. And today we're going to be talking about the tithe and the important principle of the tithe and how that you can see this all throughout the Scripture and how it's an important thing. And it's really a part of putting God first in your life. But this has to do with your money, with your resources, with your possessions, putting God first and tithing unto the Lord. This is a Bible principle that is very important. Now, I know that we're going to be reading here in Malachi chapter 3. That is the most well-known of verses about the principle of the tithe. Before we read here, I just want to mention a few things. First of all, someone might say, well, why would you take an entire message and talk about the tithe and talk about money? Well, first of all, it's not a personal thing because I'm not going to gain anything by anyone who pays their tithe directly. I won't experience. I know that a lot of people have the strange concept that I remember when I was between my years in Bible school in the summer months, I worked on a job to get money together to be able to afford to go back to Bible school, and I was working at a factory job, and at the lunch break, which actually started at midnight, was lunch. We worked from 6 in the evening until 6 the next morning. That was my shift, 5 days a week all through that summer. And at midnight is when we had our lunch break. It is kind of a strange time to take a lunch break. But at lunch break, all the guys would sit around, and of course the conversation would just go from one thing to another. But quite often, when it would come around to me, they knew I was a Bible school student and a preacher. And they would often tease me and say, I don't blame you. Want to be a preacher? You'll just get up there and preach be there for an hour on Sunday, and then they'll take up that offering, and you get all that money, and then the rest of the week you golf and fish and do whatever you want to do. They would just laugh and have a big time talking about that, and I just would kind of endure it, knowing that they had no concept at all about the work of God, about the ministry, and as even how a church functions. But when we came here 20 years ago, I've never asked anyone, the church, anyone, to give me anything. The amount of money that we receive is a salary, and we received it as the church established that amount. I never asked for anything. It was just what the church said it. Then times through the years that amount has been increased, and we've been blessed, and we're grateful for the way that the Lord takes care of us. And I went through all that just to say that if our tithe here at the church, if it grew by $10,000, $20,000, or $30,000 a week, it's not going to affect me directly. And so I'm not preaching this because I want more money personally. I just want to make that clear here this morning. But at the same time, as far as the church is concerned, the church has a rich history in God taking care of us. He's always provided for us here at the church. And there have been leaner times than others, but God has always supplied the needs. And we have, you know, a lot of expenses and a lot of that goes out for ministry. You know, the Lord makes a way. And I have no doubt but what God will supply, and that He will make a way when we put our confidence and our trust in the Lord. So my real motivation in going through these messages is because I want to see the people of God to experience. I want to see you experience God's blessing upon your life. I want to experience it. I want you to experience it in every area, even in the area of finance. You say, well, churches and preachers, all they want to talk about is money. Well, you know, if you've been around here any length of time, you know that's not the truth. And but it is important. As a matter of fact, there's more than 2,000 verses in the Bible that deal directly with money and with finances and giving. Compare that to something like around 500 verses on the topic of prayer and 500 or so verses on the topic of faith. So you can see that there is an important principle that needs to be discussed from God's Word. That's what we're doing in this service today. Jesus spoke in 38 of His parables. 16 out of the 38, He talked about money, giving, and finances. So even in the teaching of the Lord Jesus Himself, it was an important topic. And it's important in this sense, too, that statistics show that the average Christian, the average evangelical in the United States of America right now gives less than 2% of their income annually. So can you imagine what would happen in the church all across the country if everyone just said, I want to obey the principle of the tithe, and I want to obey God's will in this respect. If you'll just be open before the Lord today, you'll see that not only is this an avenue of God's blessing, but you'll also notice that this is a way that God can speak directly to you in other spiritual matters, because money and your heart are so closely connected, it is hard to separate them. Very closely connected. The Bible says, Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your treasure doesn't follow your heart. Your possessions don't follow your heart. Your heart follows your treasure. That just means wherever you put your money, that's where your affection is going to be. Whatever you invest in, that is where your heart is always going to be closely following, right behind wherever you put your treasure. Amen. That's a principle of the Word of God. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Another verse is in 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. I'm going to give you several verses today. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. How? Not grudgingly, or of necessity, not out of pressure. So there's no pressure being put on today. I'm not pressuring you. I'm just going to lay it out here before you, the principles of the Word of God, and then you take it or leave it. It's between you and the Lord. And I hope that you'll give attention to the Word of the Lord. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loves those who give from a heart of joy and worship. I believe that our giving is as much a part of the worship of our lives as any other thing. As much as our songs and lifting our hands and clapping our hands and reading the Bible and the preaching and all of these things, our giving is just as much a worship to the Lord. Amen. Now the tithe is the tenth part. You'll find that principle that laid out in many, many places in the Scripture. The tithe is 10%. It really just provides, God's wisdom provides for everyone to give proportionately. That means if you say, oh, I don't have enough money to pay tithe. Well, even if your income is just say, let's say your income is $500 a month. And someone else's income is, let's go extreme with this, $50,000 a month. I don't think anybody in here makes quite that much. But it doesn't matter. 10% is 10%. If your 10% is $5 or $50 or $5,000, it doesn't really make any difference. God's wisdom was 10% so that everyone would give proportionately, equally, no matter what your income is. When you give 10%, and you say, well, I've heard people say that before, I can't afford to tithe. My conviction is this, I cannot afford not to tithe. Because the tithe belongs to the Lord. But then the one major, the real and most important purpose for the tithe is found in Deuteronomy 14 and 23. Deuteronomy 14 and 23. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. Amen. Why do we tithe? We tithe because when we offer the tithe to the Lord, then we stand back and we're in awe of God's blessing and God's graciousness, his faithfulness to us. So we learn to fear God. We learn to fear the Lord. We understand his power, his provision, his mighty blessings upon our life. When we tithe, we learn how to fear God. Amen. We stand in awe of God and his greatness and his power to take care of us in every situation. Now, let's look at this Malachi chapter 3. This is probably the most well-known text in the Scripture related to the tithe. So let's take a few minutes just to look at these verses of Scripture. Malachi 3 and 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. That's an important start, an important verse. For I am the Lord, I don't change. What I was, I am, and I will always be the same. And then he gives a little insight into his nature. He says, therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. He said, if I changed them and was not always the merciful, gracious God that I am, you would have already been consumed. Because you would have already come under the judgment of God for your failure. But I am an unchanging God. And for those that would say, well, the tithe was just in the Old Testament, or it was just under the law, we understand as he gets into this topic here in Matthew or Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, he lays it out, first of all, I don't change. I'm the same. What I was, I will always be. And this is a principle that he's established. I am the Lord, I change not. God is merciful. Lamentation 3:22, it is the Lord's mercies. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. God doesn't change. Yes, he's merciful. He's compassionate. And he's talking to a nation that deserves judgment. And he's saying, I don't change. If I changed, you would already been consumed. You would already be dead. If I changed, but I am merciful, I am compassionate. My mercies and my compassions, they don't fail. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 7, it says, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Now he's speaking to a generation that their fathers were taken into captivity because of their rebellion and their disobedience of God's command. They had been stolen away, taken into Babylon, and held in captivity there as servants there. And he said, your fathers, even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. You didn't learn the lesson. You didn't realize that they suffered consequences whenever they didn't obey what I was commanding them to do. They went into captivity. So then he says, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? What did he mean, return? He was saying, repent of what you're doing, repent of how you're living, and come back to me. Return to the principles. Be obedient to the ordinances and the command of God. Do what I've commanded you to do. Return. He said, if you'll return to me, this is a wonderful promise. If you'll return to me, if you'll repent and begin to obey my voice, then I will return to you. Amen. I'll begin to bless you. I'll provide for you. Then I'll be working on your behalf instead of against you. Even the days of your fathers, you were gone away. Even though your fathers sinned, and you're doing just like they were doing. If you'll stop, if you'll repent, if you'll come back to me, I will return to you. Amen. They asked the question. I think this was a generation that had become so hardened that they didn't even recognize how sinful and how far away that they had gone. Because their question was, how shall we return? What have we done? What do we need to do? And he says in verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. He defines it very clearly. This is as straightforward as you can get from the Word of God. You have robbed God. You have robbed the Lord. And then they said, well, how have we robbed you? Wherein have we robbed you, Lord? And he answers, in tithes and offerings. This is how serious that God takes this subject. And how serious that the Lord demands that we obey him in this area of the tithe. We talked last week about the first fruits. Today we're talking about the principle of the tithe. Putting God first, yes, but understanding that when we do not, then we set ourselves up for either blessing or cursing. One of the two. That's what it says. So that tithe, you've robbed me in tithes and in offerings. How do you determine what tithes and offerings are? I've heard people say before, well, I've decided to give 12% tithe. That's not possible. You can only give 10%. 10% is 10%. And so if you give 12%, you have given a 2% offering. Understand? I think you all understand that. You've robbed the Lord in tithes and in offerings. And that designated amount that the Lord set, that proportionate amount is the tenth part or 10%. Anything above that is an offering. And you rob God when you don't bring your tithes and you don't bring your offerings unto the Lord. Amen. Let me just throw this in. Just suppose that you looked around and you saw, well, the church needs a new vacuum sweeper. The vacuum sweeper we've got is not any good. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I know we've got a whole room full of them over here. But so you said, I'm going to take my tithe and I'm going to go out and buy a new vacuum sweeper with that and give it to the church. That falls in the category of offering, not tithe. Tithe goes to the storehouse. And we'll look at that here further in the scripture. Malachi 3 and verse 9, you are cursed with the curse. This is a very serious message from the Lord. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Do you understand? When you hold on to the tithe, it becomes a curse. When you let go of it and you give God his tithe, then it becomes a blessing. Remember the story of Joshua leading the children of Israel into the promised land. The great victory at Jericho. The walls come down and there's this tremendous victory over that first city of Jericho. But they had been commanded, don't take any of the spoils or the possessions from that city. It belongs to God. It's the first fruits of this great conquest of the promised land. You don't take Jericho. And so remember the story that there was a man by the name of Achan. And he went in thinking secretly that he could take and disobey, and nobody would know that he took the gold and the silver and the Babylonian garment and hid it in the floor of his tent. And they went out to battle against the next city. It was a small little city, easily conquered. Ai could have been easily defeated. So they just sent out a smaller band to go up against them, and they're completely defeated. Why? Because they don't have the blessing of God. There is, and Joshua, I mean, he rents his clothes and he's praying and crying out to God, Lord, what is this? What has happened? And the Lord answered his prayer and said, there is sin in this camp. And Achan is the one that's finally discovered, and he brings out of his tent the gold and the silver and the possessions that he had taken of Jericho. And the Bible calls those things the accursed thing. You have taken the accursed thing. It becomes cursed because you hold it to yourself. Isn't it interesting how that when you give it, then it becomes a blessing. But when you hold on to it, it becomes a curse to you. So you bring the tithe to the Lord and to the storehouse, and trust that God will provide for you in every area of your life. Amen. Malachi 3:10, bring you all the tithe into the storehouse. There's the designation in our church. Our conviction is that the tithe goes to the storehouse. And other churches have other practices and other ways that they do as far as tithe, and that's their business. But we believe, it's our teaching, our doctrine, our conviction, that the tithe goes into the storehouse. And you'll see that if you'll do a study on the tithe throughout the scripture. Bring it into the storehouse. It's repeated again and again and again and again. And so we believe that the tithe goes to the storehouse, which is the church. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me. With the tithe, there is a test. It's really a twofold test with the tithe. Prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Praise God. One, I think it's an English standard version, says it this way. So put me to the test right now, says the Lord of the heavenly armies. That's any time that you see that phrase, the Lord of hosts, in the scripture, it's talking about the Lord of all of the angelic host. Amen. And it kind of gives you an idea of the power of heaven that's behind this statement. Amen. Put me to the test, says the Lord of the heavenly armies, and see if I will throw open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that has no measure. Glory to God. Amen. What an amazing promise of God's blessing on the people of God. When I say that I want you to be blessed, I'm sincere that I want to see the people of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed beyond measure. I want to see God open up the windows of heaven and bless you and then use you as a channel whereby you can be a blessing to the work of the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I said it's a test. The Lord says, prove me. First of all, it's a test of your own heart. It's a test of your heart. And then secondly, it's a test of God's faithfulness. He says, prove me. Put me to the test. See if I won't do what I have promised that I will do. So I believe that the tithe is a test. And I want to challenge you today. If you're not tithing and you say, yeah, but I'm broke, I can't tithe, or there's just no way that I could ever do that. Put God to the test. Put Him to the test. That's the Word of God. Prove me, He says. Test me. See, if you bring the tithe into the storehouse, if I will not prove myself to you, I will prove myself to you. Amen. Actually, the number 10 is associated in many places in the Scripture with testing. Let me give you a few examples. The 10 plagues. God tested Pharaoh's heart 10 different times. The 10 commandments. God tested the people's obedience, willingness to obey His command. How many times did God test Israel in the wilderness? 10 different times. How many times did God test Jacob when he was working for his uncle Laban? 10 different times. Remember, he's changing his wages going back on the deals that he was making with him. 10 different times he tested Jacob. How about in the book of Daniel? How many times was Daniel tested? 10. And you'll see this in a number of places in the scripture that the number 10 is many times associated with a test. I believe that the tithe is a test. And a lot of people have that attitude. I just cannot do it. I can't afford to do it. There's no way that I could ever tithe. It is a test of your heart, your willingness to obey God, and it's a test proving that God will come through if you will honor the Lord with the tithe. Amen. Malachi 3:11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. What does that mean? It means he said, I can't afford to do it, so I'll have to keep that 10%. I want you to be convinced this morning that your 90% will go a lot further whenever you're obeying God and honoring the Lord with the tithe. The 90% will go much further than the 100%, because what you do, you provide an open window for the devourer to come in. When you give your tithes, God opens up the windows of heaven and pours out blessing that you can't contain. Whenever you refuse to tithe, then you open up the window or a door for the devourer to come in. And he begins to rob and destroy and take things from you. Amen. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. That's what God has promised that he'll do. The enemy that wants to come and steal everything and take everything. And just as soon as it seems like you're getting everything all straightened up, then the washing machine goes out and you have to call Daryl to come and fix it. And or something else messes up, your tires wear out, or your car breaks down, and the devourer, just seems like the devourer just keeps coming. Honor the Lord, then you're on good ground. You're on a good solid foundation to say, Lord, I have been bringing my tithes and my offerings to you. So Lord, come through for me in this situation and prove him, put him to the test. Amen. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your grounds, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time, saith the Lord of hosts. There's that phrase again. The Lord of the armies of all of heaven. He's the one that's making these statements. All the nations shall call you blessed. That's what the world, they need to look at your life, look at your day-to-day experiences and say, that lady is blessed. That man is blessed. That family has the blessing of the Lord. That doesn't mean you have the nicest car, the biggest house. It's just obvious that God is working on your behalf and you are experiencing the blessing of God in your life. Praise the Lord. So that's Malachi 3, 6 through 12. And it's an important passage of Scripture, but it's not the only place in the Word of God. The biblical basis for the tithe. And since it's afternoon, I've got all kinds of time to go through all these verses here. So just bear with me. Bear with me here. Because I want to give you a few more verses, four or five, maybe six more verses that relate to the topic of the tithe. This is no way exhaustive. There are many, many other verses that deal with the first fruits and deal with the tithe. But I want to go to just a few of them. Go all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter 14 and verse number 18. Genesis 14 and 18. This was 500 years before the law was ever even given. So when someone says to you, the tithe, that was under the old covenant. That was under the old law. No. This was 500 years before the law was ever given to Moses. Genesis 14 and 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. He blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him, speaking of Abraham, he gave him tithes of all. 500 years before, he gave to Melchizedek this type of Christ, or most believe that he was actually a what they call a theophany. He was a bodily presence of Christ that appeared to Abraham, and that he brought tithe to Melchizedek. And if you want to get into to that further, read Hebrews chapter 7. Read that chapter, and there's a lot more to deal with this topic in Hebrews chapter number 7 that deals with Melchizedek. Genesis 28 and verse 22. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. This is Jacob. Remember the story of the pillar of stone and the angels ascending and descending. And he called that place the house of God. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Here's Jacob again. Hundreds of years before the law of God. So if that's the... And by the way, you know, just because it's in the law of God, does that mean that we just discard it all as it's not for us in this new covenant? Not at all. I think we all recognize that the law of God, many of the principles of the law of God carry over and they are a part of our lives in the new covenant. Amen. We know that what the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. That we would never suggest, oh, that's under the law, I can kill if I want to. Or thou shalt not steal. That, oh, I can steal, that's under the law, we're under the new covenant. But then when it comes to the tithe, people want to throw that up. Well, that's all in the Old Testament. That's all under the old covenant. But in reality, it's not just in the Old Testament. I'll get to that here in just a moment. Leviticus 27 and 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree. Tithe, all the tithe of the land, it is the Lord's. It belongs to God and it is holy unto the Lord. It's His. So really the tithe doesn't even belong to you. It is holy, it is God's, and you're just bringing what's His to Him. He's made you a steward, and you just bring what is holy and what belongs to God to the Lord. Amen. Deuteronomy 14 and verse 23. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place where he shall choose to place his name. I already used this verse, I believe. That thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. I already used that verse of scripture, but for re-emphasis here this morning, we tithe because we understand that we learn to fear God, to be in awe of his great power. Deuteronomy 26 and verse 1. And it shall be when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee of an inheritance and possesseth it and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou shalt put it in a basket and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name. Again, the tithe is the first fruits. Where is it to be brought? It's brought to the house of the Lord, that place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name. Amen. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Still with me? Hang in here now. Another verse in Deuteronomy 26 and verse 15. Once you have done what the Lord has commanded you to do, you bring the tithe to the Lord, then you can go to the Lord as this prayer is in verse 15. Lord, look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people Israel and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. You're on good ground, solid footing to say, Lord, I have given you my tithe. I have brought the tithe of the Lord to you. And now, Lord, look down, visit us from your holy heaven and provide what we're in need of. What about the New Testament? Does the New Testament say anything about the tithe? What about Jesus himself, Matthew 23 and verse 23? He's speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees were very, very particular about their tithe. I mean, even to the point of measuring out the little, smallest amounts of the mint, anise, and cumin. He says, you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, just little spices. You measure out to be very precise. He said, but you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. What they were doing, they were legalistic about measuring out these little things on their tithe, but then they were neglecting things in other areas of their spiritual life. And so let me just say this, that before the tithe, God wants you more than he wants your tithe. He wants you. And you need to get saved. I know of sometimes people that are not saved who pay tithes, and that's, you know, that's between them and the Lord. But really what God wants is you. He wants you to give yourself to him. That's where it all begins. You give yourself to the Lord. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were measuring out these little details. I mean, they were so legalistic about their tithe that they'd measure out little amounts of those anise and cumin and all these little spices. And then their spiritual life was blank. It was empty. They weren't really even serving God faithfully. They were failing the Lord in all these other areas. What does Jesus say then about that? These ought you to have done, talking about judgment, mercy, and faith, and not to leave the other undone. Those are the words of Jesus. He didn't say, take care of these matters and forget about the tithe. He said, take care of these matters and don't leave the other undone either. Make sure you do what I've commanded you to do. Make sure that your life is consistent and that you are truly living for the Lord in all that you do. Amen. The church that the Apostle Paul speaks to in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5, the Macedonian church. He was talking about their generosity and their giving. He says, and this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. He said they were generous. They gave out of their heart and were so willing to give but they first gave their hearts to God. And that's really the most important thing, is that you give yourself to the Lord and then obey Him in these other areas that He has commanded us to live and how that we should do. Well, the principle of the tithe, it reveals your heart. It reveals the things that are most important to you. And your heart is always going to be following close behind your treasures. You say, well, I don't really care about missionaries. Well, you know, if you invest some, we pass out those sheets every year with a list of the missionaries that we want to support. If you'll pick out one or two or three or four or however many of those, and you send them $5 or $10 a month and give that to a missionary, you'll make an investment in them, and you'll start thinking about them. They'll get on your heart, and you'll pray for them because you've invested some of your treasure in them, and your heart will be following close behind. You might even think, well, I've got people I don't like, and I don't even want to be around them. You might can make an investment in someone and bless them and do good to them, and your heart will follow right after your treasure. Amen. So give and give from your heart. Give generously and bring all of the tithe into the storehouse. And then watch God. Prove Him. Put Him to the test. He'll test your own heart, but then put God to the test and see if He won't come through for you, if He won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you cannot contain. There's a lot more I could say about the tithe, and I'm not going to take any more time on this topic today because I think we've pretty well covered a lot of it. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today. First of all, surrender your life to Jesus. If you're not serving the Lord, give your heart to the Lord. And then begin to obey Him in every area of your life. Every area of your life. And begin to observe and watch the blessing of God upon your life. Young people, how important that this is. You can remember being taught to pay my tithe when I was a kid mowing yards. Now, in my day, we got $4 or $5 to mow a big yard. And that included trimming all the way around the house, sometimes around a big fence, without weed eaters. This was before weed eater. I know you think I'm old, but this is pre-weed eater days. This is back when you take the little hand clippers and you go all the way around the house by hand. $5. And you work pretty hard. Oklahoma, I'm telling you, it gets hot out there. And I had, I don't know how many yards, lots of yards through the summer that I worked, and I learned the principle. Give that money, give that 50 cents or that dollar or that tithe, and watch God bless and provide. I want you to know that all through the years of my teen years, I could not do all the jobs that I had available. It was impossible. I had to turn things away. Jobs away. I would have to. I worked for the janitor of the school that was just close to our house. Every evening, I cleaned with the janitor, and he paid me a little bit every month. And then when I would leave there, I have to go and mow grass and different jobs that I had. And I honestly did not have enough time to get all the things done that I had made available to me. Amen. Amen. And I witnessed the blessing of the Lord as a kid. God helping me, blessing me, providing for me in so many wonderful ways. And I want to challenge you today. Be blessed and obey the principle of the tithe. Amen. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the blessing of God that maketh rich, addeth no sorrow. Lord, I know that You want to bless Your people. You want to bless those that are in this service today. I pray, Lord, that each individual, young and old, will take this to heart. And Lord, they'll recognize that what they need to do first is they need to surrender themselves to You. They need to first give their lives, their hearts to You. And then from that that day, that day of conversion, begin to walk in obedience to all of the commands of God. Live in obedience to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.